This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we begin our adventure in the Acts of the Apostles, starting off with the Ascension, then devoting themselves to prayer, Matthias chosen, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit, and Joel's prophecy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The numbers are undeniable, and just when we were thinking it might just be the pandemic, a lot of churches closing, well, the pandemic is over and churches are still closing. National Public Radio even noticed the faithful see both crisis and opportunity as churches close across the country. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to talk about increased church closings. Dr. Mark Wood joins us. He's Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, and Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Dr. Wood, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back with you.
Why are so many churches closing?
Well, there's a lot of factors on why churches are closing, and there's no question that they're closing at a faster rate than they have in the past. And I think the chief reason, and it's often overlooked reason, is that over the past few decades, we've seen a tremendous shift in our population from one part of the country to other parts of the country. So we primarily see people moving from the Midwest and the East Coast to warmer climates, mostly out west, California, Arizona, where I live, Texas, Florida, along the Gulf Coast in the Southeast. So this huge population shift has taken place. So we're now in a situation where we have churches where people aren't, and we have people where churches aren't. And so this disconnect has resulted in churches that have been established often for many decades have seen a population drain from their communities, and are just not sustainable any longer. But we haven't planted new churches at the rate necessary and in the places where these people have relocated. So that's one of the major factors. But there's also other factors, and that includes what we're all aware of, is that the importance of religion in people's lives in America is diminishing, and it's diminishing at a very rapid rate. The latest polls that came out said that only about 16% of adult Americans say that religion is very important in their life. And as we see the importance of faith and spiritual matters, and especially organized religion, we see that the local churches are bearing the brunt of that decline.
So what do the numbers look like on church closings?
Well, it's always important to keep everything in perspective, because we have seen an increase, and seems really dramatic increase, between the study done recently by Lifeway Research. It said that in 2014, we had 3,700 churches across America that closed. And that sounds like a staggering number, but keep in mind that there are about 380,000 churches in the United States. So on a percentage basis, you know, it's about 1%. The good news in 2014 is that we also planted 4,000 new churches. So we actually had a net increase of 300 churches. Unfortunately, that trend has shifted dramatically. Lifeway reports that in 2019, we had 4,500 churches close. So there's an increase. But the more troubling number is that we've only planted 3,000 new churches. So there's a net loss of 1,500 churches. And that was 2019. That's before the pandemic and the impact that's had on local congregations. The other numbers that are a little troubling are looking at, of those 380,000 churches in the United States, 80% have fewer than 200 members and 55% under 100 worshipers. We're primarily a country made up of small churches, and small churches have weathered the pandemic and the downturn in American religiosity worse than large churches have.
So I was speaking yesterday with Dr. Denny Burke of Boyce College about a Southern Baptist situation. Their membership numbers have precipitously fallen, especially in the year 2022. And when I asked him about it, he said, well, those are alarming, but what's more alarming is our attendance numbers. And he said at their peak, when they were 16 million members strong, they still had only about between 4 and 5 million in attendance on any given Sunday. And he just asked the question, where are the other 9 million? They're on the rolls, but they're not in church. Do you share those concerns?
I do. Just from my travels around the Missouri Synod, especially doing workshops for congregations on reaching out there to inactive members, we find that often congregations that have hundreds of people on their roster have a third to a fourth of that number in their congregations on Sunday mornings. And some congregations that we visited and talked to and worked with these materials for reaching their inactive members had 80% of their membership was long-term inactive. And when I say long-term, some of these people had not been in a worship service at that congregation for decades, but they were kept on the rolls as members. So since all the statistics that we have are based on reporting to LCMS rosters and statistics, it becomes a little troubling to know firsthand that the membership numbers are much higher than the actual people who are actively participating in the word and sacrament ministry of their congregation.
How have the demographics of churchgoers changed as well?
Well, not surprisingly, the younger people in our culture are the least churched. They're the highest percentage as a demographic group of what's called none, the no religious affiliation. The groups that tend to be faithful in their worship attendance and support of the congregation are more elderly. And the Missouri Synod is actually the number one denomination or church body in America in terms of age of adult members. A recent study of this showed that 68% of LCMS adults are over the age of 55. So we're very much an older church body made up of older participants. And that also is disconcerting when you think about what impact that could have on our attendance activity and the viability of congregations. Reaching out to younger people through effective witness and outreach is really the key to strengthening our congregations and ensuring they remain viable in the future. But this is not only a difficult demographic to reach, it's also not the focus of most congregations' witness and outreach.
It also means we're facing a demographic wall at some point where an aging attendance means, I know many congregations that are facing this right now, nobody lives forever. And that means those people who are there and are older won't be there 10, 20 years from now.
Right. And that's a double-edged sword because these people in this demographic are the most faithful givers in many cases. They've also have given some forethought to leaving gifts behind to keep congregations, to keep their districts, to keep the synod funded for the work that we have to do. So we have a generation of people who will be leaving the church militant and joining a church triumphant who have made it possible for us to continue doing the work that Christ has given us to do. But eventually those gifts are going to run out and the other demographic groups are not financially supporting their local congregations. And of course, as the triple up effect of that can be very devastating to the overall work of the church. You know, I'm biased in this respect, but I think that the answer to our challenges is not in trying to squeeze what we can out of the people who are there, but rather reaching out into a vast mission field that's right at our back door with witness and outreach to do the hard work of reaching these people who are not churched. Surprisingly, I just recently ran into this statistic that may include some elderly people 17% of Americans over the age of 65 now identify themselves as nuns. So you think about that, it's one of the largest demographic groups in our country, and 17% of them have no religious affiliation. This is not the time of one's life that you want to be backing away from the church and distancing yourself from God's gifts given only through the local congregation.
Do church closures mirror larger religious trends in the U.S.? You mentioned the nuns.
Yes, I'm afraid that they do, that as people disassociate themselves from organized religion, you can see the trend. You can see how one impacts the other. This is really going to be a challenge because as a church closes, then the local presence of Christ's church is lost. And who's going to reach those people? So the people in a community that doesn't have a faithful congregation don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel, and that just feeds the problem. Now we have more people who are disassociated from the church, and there's less support for the church. And so it becomes this vicious cycle of people who are excluded from the church, either by choice or by the absence of the church in their community.
Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. Increased church closings is our topic. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod chaplains deliver word and sacrament ministry to our military personnel and their families. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve, lcms.org/armedforces. On the other side, what does a closing of a congregation mean to the community? How do you respond to the assertion, "I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church"? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, The Overlooked Gift of the Church. Learn more about this new resource at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Gathered by Christ, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press is a family-run publisher of classical Christian education materials for homeschools and private schools. Every page of the Memoria Press curriculum leads students to a mastery of content, an understanding of the classical heritage of the Christian West, and an appreciation of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
We're talking about increased church closings. Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. He's author of the books Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, and Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Mark, what does the closing of a congregation mean to the community?
That varies quite a bit on the context of the community. Obviously, in a suburban area or exurban area where you have many different churches, If a local congregation closes, people do just move to another church in the community. Sadly, I've even seen where, you know, faithful confessional Lutherans who lose their confessional Lutheran congregation will end up in a non-Lutheran congregation simply because they don't have another option. This is really a much more significant problem in rural areas. We often find that a rural area may have a congregation that is struggling, but but the next nearest congregation could be 45 minutes or an hour away or even more. So if that congregation closes, the real opportunity for people to be active in a confessional, liturgical, faithful Lutheran church is gone. There's simply not a practical option for them. We talk about inner urban areas as well suffer from this, where even though you're in a densely populated area, if the Lutheran church closes in that community, for all practical purposes, there isn't another option for people. And this is why many of our urban areas, we've lost our footprint completely, where other church bodies have picked up our members. It can be rather devastating, spiritually speaking, to a community to lose the presence of a confessional Lutheran church.
How does the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod handle a church closure?
There isn't a standard way of handling it. The districts are primarily responsible for guiding churches through the closure process, and the practice varies from district to district. I think the same desired outcome is present in each of these different approaches, and that is to help the congregation close well, to encourage the congregation to consider this as an option while there's still resources that can be shared in a way that promotes the gospel in their community or another community, rather than just, quote, ride it into the ground. But again, there's not a standard way. Each congregation is autonomous. It has the right to choose how it goes about closing. We do have resources that are available at the synod level to provide guidance, but we primarily rely on our districts to really walk the congregation through the closing process.
What do church closings then mean, at least in general terms, for the future of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod?
If I were to make a guess, I would say that we're going to see more closings, particular in the Midwest and rural communities. We're also going to see congregations coming together through mergers and partnerships to avoid closing altogether and maintaining a presence in a community as best as they can. I'm confident that we can, through the church planting initiative, plant new churches in places where people have moved to, where we don't have an LCMS presence. And I hope that part of that is that churches that have chosen to close would sponsor a new church plant and help promote the gospel in a new community. The reality is we're going to be facing this and for some time. It's nothing new in the Missouri Synod. We close churches every year, and we really haven't closed a significantly larger number of churches in recent years than we have, say, over the last two decades. The trend seems to be fairly steady. Every time we close a church, there's a cause for, you know, lamenting the loss of that church, but also celebrating the work that that church has done and the impact it's had in its community with the gospel. We want to continue that celebration by encouraging those congregations to look for ways that they can leave a legacy, that they can invest whatever resources they have available at their closing into the work of the church at large. I think right now we're closing on average over the last 20 years or so, about 38 churches a year. There was a bit of a bump, and we're yet to see what the full impact of the COVID pandemic and the closures are going to have on small congregations, because that we have seen a decrease of about 20% in attendance. We haven't fully recovered from that and may not fully recover from that. Time will tell if that's going to accelerate church closings or not.
All indicators are predicting numerical decline for Christian churches. What's our comfort despite this?
Our comfort is that, you know, when we talk about churches, we're talking about congregations. Congregations are part of the church, and the church is Christ's church, and it's his bride. And he truly loves his bride, and he wants to see his bride prosper. And so every congregation is an instance of the body of Christ in a place for a time with a people of God's choosing. We can be confident that Christ is in control, that when a church does close, that it isn't something that came as a surprise to him. You know, he has a purpose, a mission, and a context for his congregations, and he sees them through that. We don't always understand his reasons or can appreciate why a congregation might need to close, but we can look for him to work the good that he's promised to work through what we would consider a difficult, sad, and situation that we would rather have avoided. So ultimately, a comfort always rests in this, you know, that we are on earth, the church militant, and we're going to face these battles and we're going to suffer some losses along the way, but the victory has been won and we will join the church triumphant. And that church triumphant isn't ever going to close and it's never decreasing. It's always increasing. So what we can't see is the comfort, you know, is what gives us the comfort. But one day we'll see it. So we strive towards that.
How is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's revitalization initiative and witness and outreach ministry responding to the challenges we've been discussing?
Well, our role is to provide resources to congregations through their districts. So we have created a number of resources under the revitalization initiative that specifically address the causes of decline in congregations. Now, you know, we right off the bat will tell people, we can plant and we can water, but it's God alone that gives the growth. But there's certainly some things we can do as a congregation to plant and to water. And so the revitalization resources that are collectively make up a suite called Revitality include things like reaching out to our inactive members, effective outreach in our community, you know, assimilation and incorporation of members, new and old, and strategic planning for Lutheran congregations. And these resources we provide at no cost to our LCMS congregations. And the feedback we've gotten on these is they've been very helpful to congregations as they wrestle with the challenges we've been speaking about. You know, what it really boils down to is the witness and outreach side. If we're not going to take the gospel into our communities, if we're going to just stay within the four walls of our church, then decline and closure is certain. But if we can go out and plant and water in our communities, in these harvest fields that are truly white, as we look at all the demographic information and see the vast numbers of people who don't know Christ, who have maybe never even heard of Christ, if we could go out through witness and outreach beyond our four walls, doing that planting and watering, I'm confident God will bless that, and the blessing will be visible in the number of churches that we see remain open and active, and the number of churches we're able to plant to reach people in these areas that we don't currently have a presence. So we have God's promises. We have God's word. You know, he told us that it always goes forth and accomplishes what he purposes. So let's get out there and do that planting and watering.
Dr. Mark Wood is Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, and Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Learn more about Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and purchase Dr. Wood's books at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
In hour two on this Friday afternoon, we're going to talk about school choice victories in state legislatures. Carrie Ingraham will be our guest from the Discovery Institute. Then Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us to talk about megachurch Pastor Andy Stanley's most recent attacks on Scripture. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.